Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly. We are coming back after Halloween. I hope you all had a great Halloween. I don't know about y'all, but we live in the Midwest, so Halloween is always kind of a guess. Like, you don't know if you're going to get great weather or freezing weather. The weather actually turned out to be just fine. We are kind of cold, but of course, our one-year-old Ellie did not make it very, very long. Our oldest, Jack, he does still trick-or-treat, and this is probably going to be like his last year. But he wore one of those inflatable costumes that looks like he's being abducted by an alien. So that was fun and cute and funny. And then Kennedy, his younger sister, who's 11, she dressed up as Dorothy, and she actually matched with her best friend Amelia, which was so cute. These girls have like the cutest friendship. You might see sometimes that I post about her or her friends on my Instagram, Mama.Mystery Podcast. And then Augie dressed up as the Hulk, or the Hook is how he pronounced it. He had an awesome time. He went up to every single house. He was so conversational. There was one person that answered the door with a little dog on her shoulder. And so they opened the door and Augie says, "Trick or treat, that's a cute dog." And then after every house, he would say, "Hope you sleep good," to every house owner. He's just such a character. He's a mini Austin through and through. And then Ellie, for her first Halloween, she was Toto to Kennedy's Dorothy. So she was cozy in her little dog costume, but she didn't last longer than one house before I had to take her home and let Austin do the rest of the trick-or-treating. But anyway, with that said, I hope you all had a fantastic Halloween. I love Halloween. I love the holiday season. I don't know about you guys, but like November 1st, I take down the Halloween decorations and I start putting Christmas stuff up, which I know is like kind of controversial. I think I said that right. Anyway, you know, a lot of people don't want to decorate for Christmas until after Thanksgiving, but my gosh, it's so much work to decorate for Christmas and to put a tree up and do all the things that I want to enjoy it for longer than just 25 days. So with that said, we'll probably start doing our Christmas decorations here pretty soon. Anyway, I think that's pretty much all as far as like personal mumbo jumbo. I try to keep that kind of short on this podcast because I know much of you are here for the true crime. So I totally get that. And today I do have a pretty wild one for you. We are talking about the deadly affair of Megan Jackson and Christopher Dontell. Now, Megan Jackson knew the back doors of the funeral home like the back of her hand. She knew which coolers were full, which stretchers creaked, and how to move a body without drawing attention. Now, Christopher Dontell knew the other side of death. He knew how to write the reports, make the notifications, and stand beside families when the worst had already happened. As a deputy coroner, he investigated death for a living. So the two met in that space between life and the morgue, where fluorescent lights buzzed and every name on the clipboard belonged to someone who was no longer breathing. And it's the kind of job that hardens you. And it's really not for the weak. It takes a very special kind of person to do this particular job. But for Megan and Chris, that familiarity with death would become something darker. So when Greg Rice, Megan's longtime partner and the father of her four children, suddenly vanished one October night, investigators couldn't shake one thought. If anyone could make a body disappear, it was probably someone who worked with them every day, right? Well, this is the story of how a relationship built on lies, resentment, and an affair between two people surrounded by death ended with murder. This is the deadly affair of Megan Jackson and Christopher Dontell. Greg Rice Rice was born October 13th of 1973 in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was by all accounts a devoted father and a kind-hearted guy. He grew up in Ohio as the youngest of five brothers, and a childhood friend and former sister-in-law recalled that as a young man, Greg was so giving, protective of his family, and had a great sense of humor. Greg had married once before. After a divorce, he moved from Cincinnati, Ohio to Horry County, South Carolina, seeking a fresh start. By the mid-2000s, Greg settled in the Myrtle Beach area and met Megan Marie Jackson around 2005 or 2006. The two quickly entered a serious relationship. Despite an 11-year age difference, they stayed together for roughly 15 or 16 years and had four children together. Notably, Greg refused to remarry. Having been married before, he was not interested in getting married again, but he deeply loved all five of his children and was a dedicated father. Family members describe Greg as a nice guy who would do anything for you, with a passion for Halloween and creating homemade decorations. He also loved to golf and surf. He was an avid Fortnite player, comic book collector, and enjoyed being outdoors. Now, Megan, she grew up in South Carolina and had a challenging family life in her later years. She had at least one half-brother, Sean, and in November of 2019, Megan's mother, who, by the way, had been planning to co-sign a mortgage for Megan in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, suddenly died. This loss had a profound effect on Megan. According to her half-brother, Sean, her demeanor kind of changed after their mother's death. The support Megan expected with a home co-signed by her mom quickly evaporated, leaving her in a precarious situation. Sean said Megan basically ended up homeless in late 2019. Megan was initially named executor of her mother's estate, but she was later removed for missing some of the legal deadlines. In the months after her death, Megan improperly used her deceased mother's credit cards to fund an elaborate lifestyle, as the estate's attorney discovered. The attorney recalled confronting Megan upon noticing charges made after the mom had died, quipping in a letter, quote, "Is your mother charging things from the grave?" End quote. Now, this unethical behavior and then the ensuing family tension over the estate suggested that Megan was struggling both financially and emotionally during that period. Greg Rice, according to Sean, was actually trying to protect his children's inheritance from their maternal grandmother's estate, implying that Greg was concerned that Megan might misuse funds that were intended for the kids. So this conflict over money and custody would later form part of the backdrop to these disputes. By most accounts, the once happy partnership or relationship between Greg and Megan had deteriorated badly by the late 2010s. They never married, but they shared four young children, like I said, and initially they co-parented in the same household. Over time, however, the relationship grew volatile. Friends reported frequent heated arguments, and Megan often described the relationship as toxic and abusive. Though it's not publicly confirmed if Greg had a history of abuse, no such charges are documented in any available records. So the label of abuse appears to come from Megan's complaints to other people. What is clear is that by late 2019, their relationship had crumbled. Around the same time that Megan's mother died, they had officially separated after being together for about 15 or 16 years, and they arranged a shared custody agreement for their four children. Greg would usually have them on weekends, and Greg moved into his own apartment in Myrtle Beach while Megan had to find her own housing. It was during this tumultuous period that another man entered their story. Christopher Allen, or Chris Dontell, was an unlikely figure to become entangled in Greg and Megan's saga. Chris was a U.S. Air Force veteran and worked as a deputy coroner for Horry County, South Carolina. He was a married family man living in a Conway, South Carolina gated community called River's Edge Plantation with his wife, Erica, and their two young children. By all outward appearances, Chris was an upstanding citizen with no criminal record. His job literally involved helping families of the deceased. According to his LinkedIn profile, he had been employed with the Horry County Coroner's Office since July of 2018. around that time in 2018, fate brought Chris and Megan together professionally. See, Megan had secured work as a contract body transporter, meaning she was hired to transport dead bodies from the death scenes or hospitals to either the coroner or the funeral home. So through this role, Megan regularly crossed paths with Chris Dontell, either at the morgue, in crime scenes, or wherever. But the two developed a friendship that soon turned into a secret romance, despite both of them being in other relationships, Chris obviously with his wife, and Megan still living with Greg at that time. They would often meet discreetly, even using public places like a local pizzeria for rendezvous to avoid suspicion. And it was even reported that they would hook up in the van that they would transport dead bodies in. So romantic. By 2019, as Megan's domestic life was unraveling, her affair with Chris grew more intense. Chris, then in his late 30s, was effectively cheating on his wife, and Megan, in her mid-30s, was effectively abandoning her longtime partner Greg for this new lover. According to later court evidence, the affair was well underway by late 2019, and Megan and Chris were serious by 2020. At some point during the affair, Megan became pregnant with Chris's child, a fact that would later be confirmed by multiple sources. Now, it's unclear if the pregnancy carried to term, however, the mere allegation of it created havoc, as we will soon see. In November of 2019, when Megan and Greg finally split, Megan did something that hints at her state of mind. She moved into Chris Dontell's very own neighborhood with her kids. Within 8 short months of meeting Chris, Megan decided and arranged to live just down the street from Chris and his family. This placed the secret lovers in close proximity and then further destabilized both families. Effectively, Megan was inserting herself next door to Chris, which put strain on his marriage and gave her easier access to him. Now, unsurprisingly, these developments did not stay hidden forever. Erica, Chris's wife, received an anonymous tip that effectively shattered her world. Sometime in mid-2020, she got a text message from an unknown sender claiming that her husband was having an affair and got somebody pregnant, explicitly naming Megan Jackson as the other woman. This bombshell message threatened to expose everything. When confronted, both Chris and Megan lied and denied the affair. Desperate to deflect blame, Megan actually accused Greg Rice of sending the anonymous text to Erica. In other words, Megan told the Dontells that Greg, her ex, was just trying to stir trouble by falsely alleging an affair. It was a bold ploy, with Megan casting Greg as a jealous troublemaker. For the moment, it appears that Chris's wife Erica was unsure what to really believe, but tension was high. Chris was in the hot seat at home, and Greg was likely furious if he did know of the affair, and the sources imply that Greg did know something was amiss. During the summer of 2020, Greg and Megan's relationship, now as exes who were sharing custody, became even more acrimonious. Custody and financial disputes flared between them in the months leading up to the eventual crime. Text messages later shown in court revealed heated arguments about child custody arrangements and money. Greg may have been pursuing custody of the kids, especially if he suspected Megan's household was unsafe or that she was neglecting or abusing the children, which we'll get to more on that in a moment. But he was also concerned about the children's inheritance from their grandmother. Megan, on the other hand, was trying to keep control of her life. She had a new lover to hold on to, 4 kids to manage, and was under the strain after her mother's death. The stakes were high for her. If Greg gained custody or exposed her affair and the home conditions, then she stood to lose a lot. Megan, by portraying Greg as an abuser and source of her troubles, she told friends their relationship had been toxic. Meanwhile, Greg was so uneasy about his situation that he had confided in a close friend a chilling premonition. Greg told his buddy that if something was ever to happen to him, he didn't do it to himself. This friend, Ryan, later said that it was highly unusual for Greg to miss any time with his children and that Greg seemed to fear for his safety. Greg's comments suggested that he feared someone, possibly Megan, might harm him and then make it look like an accident or suicide. And sadly, his worries were not unfounded. October 2nd of 2020 was the last day that anyone saw 46-year-old Greg Rice alive. That evening, Greg was at his Myrtle Beach apartment on Flint Lake Drive, preparing for what should have been a normal weekend with his kids. Phone records show that as night fell, Greg received two phone calls from Megan. Now, we don't know what Megan said in those calls, but it appears that she lured Greg out of his apartment under some pretext. Around that time, witnesses saw Greg walking along the roadside near his apartment complex. Unbeknownst to Greg, Megan was not far away, and she was not alone. Earlier that night, Megan had made plans with her lover, Christopher Dontell. Chris later confessed that Megan had invited him out to dinner on October 2nd. The two met up, presumably in Megan's transport van, which is a vehicle associated with her work and the funeral home. And instead of dinner, Megan abruptly changed plans and directed Chris to drive to the Myrtle Beach funeral home where she worked. Megan went inside alone while Chris waited. Chris recalled that he saw Megan in a back room on the phone, speaking in a hushed, urgent tone. When Chris asked who she was talking to, Megan claimed it was Greg, her ex and the father of her children. This was unusual, as Greg would normally be at home with the kids or preparing for them. But the content of that call is unknown. However, right after it, Megan came out and instructed Chris to drive toward Greg's residence in the Arrowhead Flint Lake area. As they neared Greg's neighborhood, they spotted him on foot by the road. And what happened next is chilling. According to Chris Dontell's later sworn testimony, Megan suddenly told him to make a U-turn and pull up next to Greg. Chris complied, stopping the vehicle beside the unsuspecting Greg, and in one sudden motion, Megan flung open her car door, drew a firearm, and opened fire on Greg at point-blank range. Chris said he was completely caught off guard. He said, quote, "She opened the door and in one motion pulled a gun out and shot him over and over. I didn't see it coming, neither did he," end quote. Greg was struck multiple times and collapsed. A forensic pathologist later confirmed that Greg was shot 5 times and died from those gunshot wounds. In the chaos immediately after the shooting, Chris froze in shock, but Megan began screaming at him to help her. Chris testified that Megan yelled at him, called him stupid, and demanded that he assist in disposing of Greg's body. Under Megan's orders, the pair loaded Greg's lifeless body onto a stretcher in the back of Megan's van. Now remember, this van was equipped for transporting corpses, which is, of course, a dark irony that they used Megan's professional gear for a murder cover-up. Now at some point, possibly immediately or in the hours after, Megan stored Greg's body in a cooler at the funeral home where she worked. She told Chris, quote, "It was him or you. I need you to go get him out of the cooler at the Myrtle Beach funeral home and get rid of him," end quote, according to what prosecutors later revealed, anyway. This indicates that initially the body might have been hidden at Megan's workplace, a location that she could access while they figured out a plan for permanent disposal. In the days following the murder, Megan began laying a false trail to cover her tracks. On October 3rd, which was Saturday morning, Megan was scheduled to drop off the children to Greg for his weekend visitation. They showed up at Greg's apartment with the kids, an act that, in hindsight, was meant to make her appear innocent and, you know, pretended to find no one at home, as she later claimed. Have you heard of Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth? It's the supplement designed to help women maintain optimal hormone levels. With more than 50,000 glowing reviews worldwide and 98% of women saying that they would recommend it to their friends and family, it's clear why it's such a fan favorite. And now you can take those results even further with their prebiotic collagen protein. This product is all about supporting your gut health, which directly impacts your hormones. When your gut is in balance, it can really amplify the benefits of Hormone Harmony. So here's what it helps with. It helps with relieving occasional bloating and gas, check. Reducing sugar cravings so you feel satisfied longer, definitely need that. Supporting healthy, sustainable weight management, which is something I have always struggled with. And boosting energy and supporting general well-being.
again, I think all moms can probably relate to basically all of those symptoms. But personally, I've noticed that adding prebiotic collagen protein to my routine made a big difference. It's given me more energy during the day and just an overall feeling of balance. Like I'm not on this wild roller coaster of hormonal imbalance. And what I really like about Happy Mammoth is their commitment to quality. Their products are inspired by nature, but backed by science, and they never cut corners. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, at checkout. Just go to happymammoth.com and use the code MAMA for 15% off today.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Megan pretended to be alarmed that Greg was not there to meet the kids. She even told a friend that it was odd because she had allegedly spoken to Greg the night before, which, if true, would refer to the calls that she made to him. Over that weekend, Greg's family and neighbors indeed realized something was wrong. Greg had vanished. He wasn't answering calls or texts, and crucially, he failed to pick up his children, which was entirely out of character. On October 5th, a concerned neighbor at Greg's complex reported Greg missing to the Horry County Police. Now, some reports say that Megan herself also contacted police, but the official missing person report on October 5th was in fact made by a neighbor. Investigators responding to Greg's apartment found an odd clue. Greg's house and car keys were discovered hidden in a cushion on his front porch. It looked as if someone had returned to Greg's apartment, locked up, and then stashed the keys outside. This discovery immediately made police suspicious that foul play could be involved. As police began investigating, Megan Jackson played the role of a worried ex. She gave statements to police mentioning that she had last spoken to Greg on October 2nd and found him missing on October 3rd. And then she also offered an alibi. Megan claimed that on the night that Greg went missing, she had spent the entire night with her colleague and friend, Chris Dontell. In other words, she said, you know, I was with Chris all that night. We were together. Megan conveniently admitted, of course, that Chris was her secret lover. At this stage, she portrayed Chris as just a friend and coworker who could vouch for her whereabouts. However, investigators weren't taking Megan's word at face value. Immediate red flags emerged. For one, Greg's close friend told police about Greg's ominous warning that if something happened to him, he didn't do it to himself, suggesting that Greg may have feared his ex. Additionally, Greg's phone records showed something kind of intriguing. On the night of October 2nd, Greg's phone, which had been at his home for most of the evening, suddenly traveled away from his apartment and ultimately pinged at or near Megan's location. In fact, police discovered that Greg's phone left the area in the same vehicle as Megan, implying that she had the phone after he disappeared, even if it was on Greg's person. Surveillance cameras provided another puzzle piece. They found footage of a white body transport van, the one that Megan used for work, leaving Greg's neighborhood late on October 2nd. This was before Greg was reported missing, and notably, it was Megan's work van. So why would Megan's van be in Greg's subdivision in the middle of the night? Investigators strongly suspected that the van was carrying Greg's body. Within a few days, Megan Jackson and Chris Dontell were both identified as persons of interest in Greg's disappearance. On October 5th, as soon as the missing person case was opened, police had actually briefed the Horry County Coroner's Office that they needed to question Deputy Coroner Chris Dontell in connection with Greg's case. The coroner's office cooperated. Chris's county-issued phone and vehicle were examined, and by October 23rd, police formally informed Chris that he was under investigation for the disappearance. Now, at that point, the coroner's office immediately suspended Chris Dontell from duty. He was locked out of county systems, and he was taken off the call rotation. 2 weeks later, on November 9th, as evidence mounted, Chris was fired from his deputy coroner job altogether. This was a dramatic fall for a man who was once investigating deaths, now being suspected of being involved in one. Throughout October of 2020, extensive efforts were made to find Greg Rice. Police and volunteers conducted multiple ground searches with bloodhounds in the Myrtle Beach area. They served search warrants on relevant locations like his apartment, Megan's home, Chris's home. Megan continued to feign concern, but police noted that her demeanor was oddly unemotional for a mother of four whose kid's father was missing. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, Megan and Chris were still secretly meeting up, even as suspicion swirled around them. Both had been released, neither were formally charged yet in October, and they were under scrutiny but not in custody. According to authorities, the pair repeatedly violated instructions to avoid contact. Essentially, Megan and Chris just could not quit each other, and they met in secret despite of the risk of being seen. This reckless behavior would later cost them, as it would be used to revoke bond, as you'll later see. But the breakthrough finally came about 5 weeks after Greg's disappearance. On November 7th of 2020, a local woman named Donna Sue Souls and her family were out fishing, they were catfishing, on the Little PD River near the Horry County-Marion County line. At a spot near Pitt's Landing off Highway 378, they noticed something unusual caught in the reeds at the river's edge. It was a large blue tarp. As they drew closer with their boat and then prodded the tarp with a paddle, a horrifying sight emerged. Inside the tarp was what appeared to be a human body bound and weighted down. The tarp had been secured with ratchet straps and cinder blocks were attached, presumably to make it sink in the river. Souls later recalled that she started crying upon realizing that it was a body. She dropped a paddle. She was terrified, horrified, and could hardly believe the nightmare that she had just stumbled upon. So immediately, she and her family notified authorities, and early on November 8th, law enforcement recovered the remains and quickly identified the body as belonging to Gregory Rice. Dental records or DNA were used to make the positive ID. An autopsy performed at the Medical University of South Carolina confirmed Greg's cause of death, that he had been shot 5 times, consistent with homicide. The discovery of Greg's body was devastating for his family, but it also provided crucial evidence to investigators. The manner in which Greg was found spoke volumes about the crime. The use of a tarp, straps, cinder blocks, and zip ties clearly indicated a premeditated effort to hide the body underwater. Police traced the tarp and other materials to a local hardware store, and sure enough, surveillance video from a Lowe's home improvement store showed Chris Dontell purchasing a tarp, ratchet straps, 2 cinder blocks, and green zip ties shortly after Greg's disappearance. Receipts matching those items were later recovered as well. So this was obviously a smoking gun tying Chris, and therefore Megan, to the disposal of Greg's body. With the victim's body found and hard evidence in hand, authorities moved quickly. On November 11th, Horry County Police arrested Megan Jackson and Christopher Dontell and formally charged them with Greg's murder. Chris, who was 37 at the time, was picked up at his home on Oak Pond Court in Conway, and Megan, who was only 35, was arrested at her house. Notably, the two residences are right down the road from each other in the same gated community, so neighbors were stunned. Those living nearby later said Chris had seemed like a normal family man, while Megan was not very friendly and often had many kids and cars at her place. Both suspects were booked into the J. Reuben Long Detention Center that day and held without bond. In the immediate aftermath of the arrests, gruesome details of Megan's home life also came to light. When police searched Megan's residence, they found evidence of serious child abuse and neglect. Warrants revealed that Megan had been forcing 3 of her children to stay locked in their bedrooms for extended periods of time. The kids' bedroom doors had electronic locks with batteries removed and no interior knobs, meaning the children could not open them from the inside at all. The windows were fitted with padlocks and even nailed shut, preventing any escape or even fresh air. Essentially, the children were imprisoned in their own rooms. Investigators believed the kids had been trapped for so long that they resorted to using whatever containers were available as toilets in their room, since they were not even allowed to use the bathroom. These revelations led to Megan being charged with 4 counts of unlawful conduct toward a child, 1 count for each of her and Greg's children, in November of 2020. Social workers immediately removed the children and placed them in protective custody. In later commentary, Megan's daughter, Savannah, would describe living under her mother's roof as a nightmare. She testified that at one point she thought she was never going to get out of that house. The abuse allegations painted Megan as a cruel, controlling figure behind closed doors, adding just another layer of motive for Greg, a caring father, to be at odds with her. With both suspects in jail, law enforcement and the media began to unravel the story for the public. It was clear that Megan Jackson and Christopher Dontell had conspired to murder Greg Rice. After their arrest in 2020, both Megan and Chris initially waived their right to an immediate bond hearing, remaining in jail through the end of that year. In November of 2020, a judge granted Chris a $125,000 bond with house arrest and no contact with Megan or Greg's family. Megan later received a similar bond in early 2021, but the two violated their no contact order by secretly meeting up. Prosecutors quickly moved to revoke her bond, and by June of 2021, Megan was sent back to jail to await trial. Chris's bond was modified to lift home detention but kept other restrictions, suggesting that he had at least started to cooperate. That summer, Greg's son Zachary filed a wrongful death lawsuit against both suspects, alleging his father suffered before dying and accusing the pair of outrageous conduct. The civil suit was paused pending the criminal trials, but underscored the family's resolve for justice. The pandemic and legal delays pushed the case forward really slowly. By late 2022, grand juries indicted both Megan and Chris, each pleaded not guilty, and trials were repeatedly postponed. In December of 2024, as jury selection began for Chris's trial, he accepted a plea deal, admitting guilt to criminal conspiracy to commit murder and accessory after the fact, while the state dropped murder and the kidnapping charges. In exchange, he agreed to testify against Megan. Sentencing was delayed until after the trial, but the judge warned that he faced up to 20 years in prison. Megan's murder trial began in June of 2025 at the Horry County Courthouse. Prosecutors portrayed her as the mastermind, motivated by custody disputes, financial tension, and of course her affair with Chris. Evidence included cell phone data placing both of them near Greg's apartment, surveillance showing Chris buying tarp and weights, and an empty gun case matching the murder weapon's caliber. Investigators also proved that Megan had sent anonymous text messages to Chris's wife, revealing their affair in an effort to break up his marriage. So it was Megan the entire time sending those messages to Chris's wife, hoping that it would entice her to leave him. And yet she didn't. The key testimony came from Chris Dontell, who described how a dinner meeting with Greg turned into a fatal ambush. He said that Megan shot Greg over and over and then forced him to help dispose of the body in the Little PD River. The defense argued Chris was the real killer, motivated to save himself, but Megan's attorney called no witnesses, relying on cross-examination and the claim that Chris was lying for leniency. After just 2 hours of deliberation, the jury found Megan Jackson guilty of murder on June 10th of this year. Judge Benjamin Hyman sentenced her to life in prison without parole. Greg's daughter, Savannah, testified during the trial and later spoke publicly about surviving her abusive upbringing, urging others in similar situations to have hope. Following Megan's conviction, prosecutors dropped remaining child abuse charges to spare the children any additional trauma. 1 month later, Chris Dontell faced sentencing. His wife, Erica, pleaded for mercy, calling Megan their antichrist, while Savannah urged the judge to impose the maximum penalty, reminding the court that Chris had comforted her during the search for her own father, knowing that Greg was already dead. Judge Hyman agreed with Greg's family, sentencing Chris to 20 years in prison, 15 for accessory after the fact, and 5 for conspiracy, served consecutively. Chris broke down in tears, apologizing and saying that words could never capture his regret. He later filed a motion to reduce the sentence, though there's no record of any change. Meanwhile, Megan has appealed her conviction, though experts say overturning it will be difficult, given the overwhelming evidence and, of course, her own daughter's testimony. She is now an inmate in the South Carolina Department of Corrections, serving life behind bars for murder. In a phone call with ABC's 2020 after her conviction, Megan continued to deny shooting Greg and also denied ever abusing her kids. She insists that Chris lied on the stand and that she's innocent, maintaining that she loves her children very much. Despite her claims, the evidence in the jury's verdict say otherwise. Megan will likely spend the rest of her natural life in prison unless her appeal somehow succeeds. No new evidence of her innocence has emerged, though, and her appellate grounds remain to be seen. Christopher Dontell is incarcerated as well, beginning his 20-year term in a state prison. If he behaves well, he might get out in his late 50s. He's not only lost his freedom, but also his career and his marriage. It's unclear if Erica will stay married to him after all that's happened, but her statements in court suggest a mix of lingering love and immense pain. She said in court that not only Chris, but she and her children have suffered for the past 4 years because of Megan's actions. She has had to raise their kids with this dark cloud overhead. In essence, Chris's entire family were all collateral victims of this affair and this murder scheme. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but I did see that Erica was actually pregnant when Chris was put in jail, and he will likely miss the entirety of his new child's life. I struggle to really understand Erica's position. And thank God for that, because I've never been in that kind of position. But after all of this evidence and the months and years of interactions that Chris continued to have with Megan, at some point, you've got to assign some culpability to this guy. So the fact that they're really only calling Megan the Antichrist and that they've suffered for the past 4 years only because of Megan's actions, I don't know. It kind of seems like maybe even Erica is either naive or has been manipulated at the very least in all of this. Greg Rice's children are now safe, though they face the lifelong trauma of these events. In an unexpected but heartwarming turn, Greg's older son from his first marriage, so their half-brother, actually stepped in to care for the four younger Rice Jackson children after Megan's arrest. This older half-brother has been raising his younger siblings, ensuring that they stay together and that they have a stable home. Savannah, who is now a young adult, is trying to forge a new life. She and her siblings received counseling and support from extended family, and Savannah's courageous courtroom testimony and subsequent interviews show a remarkable resilience. She has expressed hope that others can learn from her story of survival and not lose hope even in dire family situations. And though Greg Rice is gone, he will not be forgotten. Friends and family keep his memory alive, remembering him as a devoted father and generous friend who would do anything for you. That is it for today's episode of Mama Mystery. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you are following this podcast on whichever platform you choose to listen so that you never miss a future episode. We'll see you for the weekly docket on Friday. And until then, stay curious, stay vigilant. Mama Mystery out.